join the rest of our members. We have about 4,500 members. We'd like to have more. We need more to keep this model of community radio going. And you can help by calling 877-500-5266. And stay tuned right now for Digital Divide.
And the time is 11 a.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, The Digital Divide. I'll have a great interview with you from the coordinators over at OMSI regarding the new Sherlock exhibit, a world-renowned exhibit that will be traveling after it leaves OMSI. And, of course, we are raising funds, so please do call in now and or go to the website, click donate. Coming up, Digital Divide.
KBOO first went on the air in 1968, an epic year in recorded music. Dr. Zom, Stereo Obscura, Radio Lost and Found, and La Ruleta present Offbeat Sounds of 1968, a look at some of the best of the little-known records from that particular year. From Brazilian psych to twisted soundtracks to experimental electronic rock, we've got it covered from 8 to 12 p.m., Friday, October 11th, right here on KBOO Portland.
Join us this Wednesday, October 16th, from 9 a.m. to noon for a special program on the politics of austerity.
Austerity is harm. It's the equivalent of leeches for medicine. You might think you're doing some good, but all you're doing is weakening the patient.
Featuring Mark Blythe, author of Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea, Robert Kuttner, author of Debtor's Prison, The Politics of Austerity, Sanjay Basu, author of The Body Economic, Why Austerity Kills, and Ellen Brown, author of The Public Bank Solution, From Austerity to Prosperity. That's Wednesday, October 16th, from 9 a.m. to noon, for our Austerity special right here on KBOO Portland.
And coming up next, an interview with our own OMSI Museum of Science and Industry regarding the new internationally renowned Sherlock exhibit, and then more fundraising. And that number is 877-500-5266. Please support your non-commercial, non-corporate, community, volunteer-driven radio station, KBOO. Up now, OMSI, Sherlock. I'm Rabia Yeaman with The Digital Divide. Today I'm speaking with Christy Falkowski, senior science educator at OMSI, our science and education museum. How would you describe OMSI?
I would say that we do science education, but it's an informal science learning environment.
And so it's experiential?
It is. It's experiential education.
What do you do at OMSI?
I'm in charge of the changing exhibit hall. So all the new exhibits that come through about three times a year, I'm responsible for coming up with complementary curriculum and programming and volunteer management and staffing and all the other stuff that goes along with running the museum floor for our visitors.
That's an exciting kind of event planning.
It is. It's a good challenge. It's a lot of fun.
Tell us what's going on at OMSI right now.
Right now, we are entering our fall season. We are installing our brand new exhibit that will be opening in just a few weeks on Sherlock Holmes.
It's a big exhibit. It's exciting. There's a lot of buzz around it. Tell us what we can expect.
All right. So this exhibit, the International Exhibition of Sherlock Holmes, is a brand new exhibit. It has not been on view in any museum yet. This is its world debut. And it is on not just Sherlock Holmes, but also Conan Doyle and his life and times and influences, the science and technology of the turn of the century London, and how Sherlock Holmes has influenced forensic science and investigation today. So it covers a lot of ground. There's a lot of history of science. There's mystery that you get to solve as a visitor. And it really takes you back to the late 1800s, London, to give you the experience of working with Sherlock Holmes and solving a case.
How did Sherlock Holmes influence modern day forensics?
Well, at the time that Sherlock Holmes was written, Conan Doyle was very interested in science and new discoveries that were going on at that time. And so a lot of the stuff that Sherlock Holmes did in the stories was really cutting edge science at the time and wasn't even in use by police force, which was nascent. It was brand new. The London, the Metropolitan Police Force was a new thing. And Sherlock was a consulting detective, which wasn't really a thing that existed. And so the way he thought about things and the way he looked at things was kind of a new way of looking at solving crimes. And it brought it to the public eye. You know, people were reading about these stories and these things and how Sherlock solved cases. And it was fascinating because it was new. And a lot of that stuff laid the groundwork. I mean, scientists and investigators at the times were starting to use these things, but they were brand new. They were brand spanking new. And it turns out that a lot of them are things that we still use today in terms of trying to solve cases with forensics. So
that's kind of the era or the period of steampunk.
It is. Yes, it is. It was right smack in the middle of the Industrial Revolution. There were huge changes going on in terms of industry and science and technology. So, you know, you're seeing the shift from gas lamps to electricity. You're seeing the shift from steam to, you know, gasoline powered. You're seeing, you know, hansom cabs turn into horseless carriages. And there's all this change. It is a paradigm shift in the way people live their lives. Telecommunications, it was kind of like the birth of the internet today. You know, they had telegraph and telephone and all these things were new, creating world communications. You could send a message a long ways much quicker than by post.
Quicker being a relative term,
yes.
Even still.
Yeah. But so there was all this new information coming from all over the world. It was the height of the British Empire. And so there's all these new things coming into the lives of British people through newspapers, which were print media was becoming a huge thing due to printing advances. So everybody could read the paper. And that's how people read Sherlock Holmes. They had magazines. And so the quickness of information and the spreading information and ideas was spawning all kinds of change.
And speaking of change, we are looking for some of your change now. We're going to be going out to our membership central, but we're asking you to dial 877-500-5266. KBOO is working with a $125,000 goal this drive. The sooner we make it, the sooner we stop pitching. But we are asking for your support now for the independent programming that you hear on this station. And I'm going to turn it over to Paul and Honey.
Thank you so much. It is important that you hear that information, that this is, in fact, how we do things. You are our connection to the grassroots here at KBOO, your community radio station. We provide the radio, but you provide the funding and the resources for the volunteers to do so. 877-500-5266 is the number to dial this morning to support Digital Divide and the Friday morning Radio Zine. We would love to hear from you right now, and we'd like to thank some other folks who have helped out today, namely the restaurants who have donated food to feed the volunteers working the hours to raise funds for your community radio station. That's Katie O'Brien's at 2809 Southeast Sandy Boulevard, Aprisa Mexican Cuisine at 2311 Southeast 8th Avenue, and Marrakesh at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue.
Quick correction, Katie O'Brien's is actually Northeast Sandy Boulevard.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Thanks. 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, Katie O'Brien's. We thank them all for supporting KBOO, and we'd love to thank you for your call at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
You know, you all think you may have heard this all before. Maybe you have heard this all before. That doesn't change the facts. The facts are that every year we need to raise the money. It's really, it's like death and taxes, you know?
It's kind of simple like that. It's just one of those things that happens. We have to pay the light bill, right?
Indeed. The light bill, you know, the bill for our small staff, for the computers to be repaired, for all that kind of stuff. On a day-to-day basis.
Think about the audio equipment that we use every day that is in hard use by volunteers to make this radio come to you through your ears every day.
You know, we've come a long way since the Industrial Revolution.
We have.
As Digital Divide was talking about, things have developed. We're kind of bare bones here, though. It's not like we have a really extravagant, you know, equipment. But we do have the bare bones to bring you really exciting, interesting, creative community radio every day of the week. And if you want to support that, please support that by calling 877-500-5266.
That's right. We've got some steam-powered radio for you right now. So do call in, support this program. And all of the other programs that you hear on the air, KBOO. The number to call now to make that phone ring is 877-500-5266. We're going to continue with our interview with folks from OMSI and then a special Sherlock Holmes surprise for you.
At the time, it was a great time of innovation and exploration.
Trying to solve crimes, you know, physical crimes of, you know, of a person's body, you know, someone was murdered or injured. The technology was incredibly primitive. You know, you could say, well, there's a hole over there, or there appears to be something broken over here. So trying to solve crimes with very little technology, you know, magnifying glasses, tweezers, what else did they have?
Well, they had microscopes, there was a lot of medical advances during that time. So, you know, forensic anatomy, you know, analyzation of bodies after death to determine cause. There were people who were studying that, find out what kind of injuries might have caused certain things. There's a lot of work in chemistry. Poisoning was a real issue at that time. It was almost like a murder fad.
A popular method. Poison.
And what traces does poison leave in the body? And how do you know someone's poisoned? So there were a lot of chemists trying to figure out ways to detect poisoning in bodies.
There was a lot of that, you said.
Yeah. So out of that, we got a lot of toxin analysis and things that we still use today. There's a few reagents that we use to find these days, mostly to find evidence of drugs.
Can you tell us some popular poisons of the era?
The easiest one would have been like arsenic, which was also in many cosmetics to whiten the skin. It was easy to find rat poison. But strychnine was another popular one. And I'm forgetting one. There was another really popular poison.
Well, we can look forward to learning more about that in the exhibit. Will the exhibit feature Dr. Watson?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Tell us his role.
So Watson is really the person who we learn about Sherlock through. He's the sidekick, but the stories are told through Watson's eyes. And he was a doctor. So Watson is almost there to add validity to Sherlock's scientific knowledge and kind of act as you would be seeing the scene. So you don't get to see everything that Sherlock does, and you don't get to see what's going on in Sherlock's mind because you're in Watson's. You're seeing what Watson's seeing, what Watson's thinking. And so it keeps that veil of mystery, I think, in the case solving while you're reading the stories. So you don't get to figure everything out that Sherlock's figured out. You're trying to figure it out as Watson's figuring it out. And so he's really like the perfect sidekick and a fascinating character of his own. He's an Afghanistan vet from the wars of those times, which is why it translates so well into modern media, I think. And he's, you know, his own interesting character, and he's a sympathetic figure.
Both rather eccentric characters.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Well, that's so exciting. When does the exhibition open?
It opens October 10th, which is not too far away.
Not too far away. And what do people need to do to be able to see that event?
Well, you have to come to OMSI. That's the first rule, because that's where it's at. There is a extra ticket fee to get into the exhibition. It's a very large exhibition. It's 2.5 halls. It's 13,000 square feet. It's probably the largest exhibit we've hosted since the first Body Worlds.
I know that OMSI is branching out into the community and offering a lot of different events. Can you tell us of some of the other things that are coming up soon?
Yeah, sure. So when we have our Science Pub series, our next Science Pub is this month. It's October 15th at McMenamin's Missions Theater. And that one is on Moss, the wonderful world of Moss.
Now, wait a minute, of moss?
Of moss.
Moss that grows on trees or rocks, mm-hmm. moss. So we can go to the Science Pub, mm-hmm. we can get some beer, pizza, and we can learn about the fascinating world of moss.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. We've got more. There's more.
All right.
That's just the one that's coming up.
That's exciting.
in November, our Science Pub is on the brain, the self, and the metaphor with Brian Atberry. And he's a well-known scholar of fantasy and science fiction who's currently the editor of the Journal of Fantastic in the Arts. All right. So in the museum, we also, every month we host OMSI After Dark, which is our 21 and overnight. So it's a chance for adults to come have a drink, hire a babysitter, and enjoy OMSI in a kid-free environment. And our Sherlock tie-in is the one on December 4th, which is Examine the Evidence. And it's all themed on forensic science. So that should be a really entertaining OMSI After Dark if you're into forensics.
And is that a hands-on event?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's all kinds of live demonstrations and things people can try out, things people can watch.
Will it be blood and guts? And
you'll have to find out.
There could be, right?
To come and see.
Well, that's right. So, okay, that sounds pretty exciting. OMSI After Dark Forensics, that's coming up. We can go to the website.
Go to OMSI.edu and search for events, and it'll get all our current event listings.
So how did OMSI get involved with the Sherlock exhibit? Did you have to compete to have it, or did they approach OMSI?
We were lucky enough to be selected to work on this project. It is a collaborative effort through EDG, which is an exhibit development group, and Jeffrey Curley and Associates, who build exhibits. You'll know their work from Mythbusters, which we had last year. And we've been collaborating with them over the last year and a half or so to develop the educational marketing and design content for this exhibit. And it's been a real amazing journey to be a part of it. So OMSI is known for our educational content and our exhibits. We create exhibits that are world-renowned for their science content and informal education elements.
And KABU is world-renowned for its independent media production, training, and broadcast. The content that is created and produced here by volunteers like myself and others, we bring it to you. We come to the station and learn how to make radio, and KABU enables and empowers volunteers to be able to do that. You listen because you value the content, and that's why you want to dial now 877-500-5266 to help KABU meet its fiscal and monetary goals for the upcoming year. And we're going to go out to Ani and Paul.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners. It is important that we hear from you now, as we have a $250 goal to raise before noon for this section of the morning's Radio Zine with Rabia and Digital Divide, bringing you every month looks into technology, looks into science, looks into how technology is affecting our culture and how we are using science and you know, that role that it plays in our life. If you value that, and again, I got to say, you must value it. You are listening. You are spending your mental energy bringing in this information that we provide. So go ahead and send in a little of your money to support the effort. We need to keep the electricity flowing so that we can keep the transmitter pumping the signal to you. We need to keep on top of so many things, like developing our multimedia resource and going in all manner of directions using technology in the future to deliver this content in ways that you can in fact use it, keep it in touch with you all day long by whatever means you use, be it a transistor radio or in fact your phone or iPod or whatever it is. We want to be there with you. So please do support the effort right now at Community Radio, at KABU. Become a member today. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
Yeah, you know, you've heard it before and you'll hear it again. There's only one number to call. It's very simple. It's 877-500-5266. You know, Community Radio is a precious commodity. It's a pretty scarce thing in the United States. A lot of people have really never listened to any. If you're listening to this, you've probably listened before. Maybe you're tuning in for the first time. Maybe you don't know that much about KABU. If you don't, you could go to our website at kboo.fm and find out all about what we're all about. You know, we regularly hear from new listeners to say how excited they are that a station like KABU even exists. It's a minor miracle, actually, that KABU exists, thanks to some creative and people thinking outside the box back in 1968 who started this station based upon a tried and true model of listener sponsorship community radio pioneered by Pacifica even earlier. So whether you're new to Portland or you've lived here your whole life, and you share that excitement about KABU Community Radio, please call to support us right now at 877-500-5266. And please tell your friends and family and talk us up on social media. We really do need to spread the word about what we're trying to do. You know, we're not perfect, but we do think we're providing a valuable service to this community. If you share that sense of the value of KABU, please call us up, 877-500-5266.
And I gotta say, we have been hitting that mark. We have been providing relevant radio for 45 years now. How do I know that? Well, because you have been supporting us, and we have been keeping the information flowing. We also keep music flowing, art flowing. Excuse me. We have programs that highlight the lively performing arts. We have music programs. We have programs that highlight spoken word and theater arts. And right now you are listening to the Radio Zine every weekday morning from 9 to noon, dishing you up news, commentary, information, history, culture, all of it in a nice little 3-hour package and a Radio Zine format so that you can stay abreast of so many current issues so that you can be informed and you can take right action in your life to really live an enriched life amongst your other community members. We are sort of the hub of that community with so many people tuning in and really turning into the sort of cloud of thought that we share together. We broaden the discourse. We talk about these things. We give them a little life of their own so that we can, in fact, know what's going on, have deeper analysis, and take right action. Right now, the action we need you to take is to go to the phone and think about sustaining KABU. $5 a month or $10 a month. Let's just look at $10 a month, shall we? What can you get for $10? I would venture to say not all that much. It is a little chunk of change, but if you have a steady employment, then $10 is something that is very easy to sustain your community radio station and to enrich your entire community. Give that level. $10 a month puts you in our sustaining membership area. We love our sustaining members. We love all of our members, but really sustaining members keep us going month in and month out throughout the year. Please give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 and tell us you want to give at that level. Just $10 a month makes such a difference here at KABU as it adds up to all the other contributions, and together it grows into a mighty whopping annual budget. We thank you very much for that support, but we do need to hear from you right now to keep on. We have $250 to raise before noon. 1-877-500-5266 5266 or online at kboo.fm. Do it now. Make this your moment to become a member of KBOO. 1-877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm.
So we're really good at what we do. We've developed classroom materials before, pre and post activities for teachers to do in their classrooms that tie into the exhibit, but are also standalone, and they're on forensic science and also literature. For the first time, we've done some literature activities to tie in with the Sherlock content. So teachers have materials that they can take and bring more in-depth experience to any students coming for field trips. And we've also are creating live demonstration programming opportunities that travel with the exhibit. So if you were to come into the exhibit, you might get to see a wet chemistry demonstration. You might get to learn a little bit more about the printing press, something about how observation skills work. How does Sherlock be able to look at someone and tell like interesting things about like where they've been or what weather they've been in, or and other tidbits like that.
It's elementary.
It is.
Sorry. It's sounding like what you're saying is that there was a proposal for an exhibit and that OMSI actually helped create the exhibit itself. You worked with the development of it, and that's why it hasn't been anywhere else, because we, I'm saying we because now I'm patriotic, built the exhibit, which will then go on to other museums in other locations.
Yeah, we were part of the exhibit development process. The exhibit was physically built in Chicago by the same group that built MythBusters. Our contribution came in through the educational content, and we've been consultants this whole time as well. But also our design and marketing teams have been extremely involved in the look, feel, and branding. It's a wonderful partnership. We're also working as a group with the Conan Doyle Estate, and some other Sherlockian experts. Dan Stashower, who's a biographist and historian of Conan Doyle, and E.J. Wagner, who wrote an amazing book on the science of Sherlock Holmes, tying forensics to the work of the great detective. And so it's a huge team effort, and it's going to be. I think it's going to be pretty special.
It's so exciting. Yeah, I bet the Sherlock Holmes is a whole kind of niche, culty, nerd fest of all its own, right?
Yeah, he's kind of an enduring character. People love Sherlock Holmes, and he gets reinvented every, 20, 40 years or so. There's a resurgence of popularity. He's kind of timeless. It's great adventure. The characters are very likable and human.
Yes, human and brilliant.
Yeah.
So what do you think in the exhibit will really appeal to, pop culture, people who are...
So for all the Sherlockian fans, it depends. So there's different kinds of Sherlock fans, and there's something for all of them. Specifically for pop culture, we do have a gallery of artifacts and objects from a lot of the current and historic Sherlock properties. So
steam-powered microscopes?
No steam-powered microscopes, but we do have a horseless carriage from the Robert Downey Jr. movies. And there'll be clothing and other artifacts from the shows, such as Elementary and Sherlock, and some other artifacts from the movie series. And I do believe there are artifacts that even go back to like Basil Rathbone and some of the plays that were put on in the early part of the 20th century.
Basil, I still love you. You're my favorite, Holmes.
Yeah, because it's very important to show like the history of the pop culture that Sherlock has inspired, because it's not just the modern resurgence. I mean, that's what we are familiar with right now, but his plays, radio plays, early movies, it's enduring.
So what other activities is OMSI hosting that'll tie in with the Sherlock exhibit?
So in addition to the OMSI After Dark, there's two of them. There's also
the forensic edition.
The forensic one ties in the best to Sherlock Holmes. There is the science fiction one in November, science fiction themed, that ties in literature wise, but not specifically to Sherlock Holmes. Opening weekend, we have member night. So if you're an OMSI member on the 11th, you can come check the exhibit out with your family.
October 11th.
Yeah. And that starts at 6 to 10.
Hours. Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's after museum hours. And that night we have, if you are a member and you're able to come, we have a performance by the Historical Conjurer, who talks about the science and history of magic, which is pretty cool. And we will have weekend demonstrations by a group called Academia della Tora, and they do Bartitsu, which is a Victorian martial art that Sherlock was an expert in.
Oh, that is so exciting. What is that called, that experimental martial art?
Bartitsu.
All right.
It was a gentlemanly art. It was like a mix of hand boxing and stick fighting.
All right. Well, you can wiki that. Hey, thank you so much, Christy, for being with us today on The Digital Divide. And just tell us one more time when the exhibit opens. Where can people find OMSI if they've never been? And I know there's a transit, public transit now. They can get there. So give us all the facts.
All right. So the International Exhibition of Sherlock Holmes opens on October 10th to the public, and it runs through January 5th. OMSI is located on the East Bank Esplanade on Water Avenue. We're reachable by streetcar, the new streetcar line, and you can find us at omsi.edu for directions.
Thanks so much for joining us, and I want us to keep up on all of OMSI's exciting exhibitions on the Digital Divide. Thank you.
The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, the original and immortal stories of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized anew, with Sir Ralph Richardson as Dr. Watson and Sir John Gielgud in the role of Sherlock Holmes.
My name is Watson, Dr. John H. Watson. It may be familiar to you through my association over many years with one of the most remarkable men I believe the world has ever known, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. I want to tell you about one of our earliest adventures, the first time that we went out into the streets of London in active partnership. We were still youngish men. It was far back in the early 1880s. We had shared those famous rooms, number 221B Baker Street, for only a few months.
Watson, my dear fellow, you're just in time.
In time for what, Holmes?
Well, you've so often been good enough to express a genial interest in my singular profession. Now you'll be able to see me actually at work.
Oh, well, I'm delighted, Holmes. It should be fascinating. Ah, but I must sit down by the fire. Deuce chilly out.
Oh, do, my dear fellow. Oh, by the way, Watson, why Turkish?
Turkish? How do you mean?
The bath. The bath you've just come from, my dear fellow. Why the relaxing and expensive Turkish, rather than the invigorating homemade article across the passage here?
Well, because I felt lazy and... But I haven't said a word about it. How the deuce did you know I'd had a Turkish bath?
Your boots, Watson.
Boots?
The thing's quite elementary, surely.
Oh, no doubt, but you'll forgive me if I fail to see the least connection.
You always do your boots up in the same way, Watson. However, on this occasion, I see them fastened with an elaborate double bow.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, you've had them off and someone else has tied them for you. Who, for example? The answer can only be your bootmaker or the boy at the Turkish baths. As your boots were only made and delivered here late last week, It's hardly likely to have been the bootmaker, so what remains but the bath? Absurdly simple, isn't it?
Upon my soul, Holmes, you really are the strangest fellow.
Ah, wait till you meet Milverton. He's stranger still.
Milverton? Who's Milverton?
Charles Augustus Milverton of Hampstead. In all probability, the most evil man in London.
Indeed? It sounds fascinating.
I invited him for 6:30, so he's almost due.
Oh, I shiver at the thought of him. But what's he do for a living, this strange caller of ours?
Blackmail, Watson.
Huh?
Yes, he looks like Mr. Pickwick. But heaven help the man, or worse still, the woman, who's indiscreet enough to get into his power.
And what have you to do with him?
Well, I've had the honor recently to be consulted by a particularly illustrious lady.
Who is she? Do I know her?
Well, I expect you know her name. Lady Eva Brackwell, the most beautiful debutante of last season.
But, of course, isn't she to be married in a fortnight to the Earl of Dovercourt?
Yes. It's all arranged. Unluckily for her, Milverton has managed to get hold of some imprudent letters, Watson, which she wrote some time ago to a penniless young fellow in the country. Only imprudent, mind you, but they'd be quite sufficient to break off the match.
And you're commissioned to meet him?
Yes, and make what terms I can. I think he's here, Watson. Will you let him in?
Mr. Holmes' rooms.
Will you come in, please? This is Mr. Holmes. I take it you are...
Charles Augustus Milverton. How are you, Mr. Holmes?
No, I prefer not to shake hands with you, Mr. Milverton.
Huh?
This is only a matter of business between us.
I see. And we can talk of it before this gentleman. It's rather a delicate affair.
Dr. Watson is my friend and partner, sir. He knows our business.
Really? Well, we need hardly waste much time on it. My position is quite different. You are acting for the Lady Eva, I understand.
I have that honor. What are your terms, Mr. Milverton?
£7,000, Mr. Holmes.
And the alternative?
Oh, my dear sir, it is painful to discuss it. But if the money is not paid by the 14th, there will certainly be no marriage on the 18th.
And supposing I advise my client to tell her future husband all about these letters you hold?
You evidently do not know the Earl, Mr. Holmes, nor me. I am practiced at this game, sir. Look at this pocket. I have 8 or 10 similar cases all maturing in it. It is how I make my humble bread.
You scoundrel.
As you like, sir. But there are details here that would surprise you for all your so-called knowledge of affairs. You may remember the sudden end of the engagement between the Honorable Miss Miles and Colonel Dorking. And only because the absurd sum of £1,200 could not be found in time.
7,000 is ridiculous, Milverton. Out of the question.
Is it? I think not. There was also the case of... no more names, perhaps. Well, sir?
Watson, get behind him. Don't let him get out now. Now, sir, that notebook, if you please.
You fool, Holmes. Stand back. Do you think I'd go about a business like mine unarmed? Stand back, I say. You too, Dr. Watson, or whatever your name is. Put up your hands.
Holmes, I'll...
Keep still, Watson.
I expected something much more original, Mr. Holmes. I really did from you. Do you think I'm just a fool as to carry the letters about with me? You only make me more determined than ever. One more word and I'll make it 8,000 and the 13th instead of the 14th. Good night, Mr. Holmes.
It was...
And you are listening to Digital Divide. That is an old radio program of Sherlock Holmes following up on Rabia's interview with the curators at OMSI's Sherlock exhibit that's on now. Digital Divide is a program that looks at science, at technology, at how it affects community and how community affects it. And it is a part of our Friday morning radio zine here monthly on KBOO Community Radio, where we dish up all manner of information, news, analysis, commentary, and culture for you to enrich your life by. Please give us a call and support us at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
And we'd like to thank Patra, a renewing member from Portland. And we also just had a walk-in who just laid $200 cash on us. Just
love that.
Out of the blue, we just love that. And you can do that too. You can come on down to 20 Southeast 8th, right off of Burnside, right here in inner Southeast Portland, if you're in Portland. If you're not, well, you can call us up at 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm.
That's right. You could be listening anywhere in the world. We know we have listeners in Japan. We know we have listeners in Paris. We know we have listeners in London. How do we know this? Because we get emails from them. We get comments from them. And we know you are there. In fact, we get memberships from you, too. If you, in fact, are listening, no matter where you are in the world, in a country far from Greater Cascadia here, you can join us now online and be a part of this virtual community on the air. KBOO.FM is, again, that place where you can go to know that you are actually, really a part of things right here, right now. KBOO.FM, or anywhere in this country, you can give us a ring at 877-500-5266. Join now. Help us keep on track for the fall membership drive. Again, looking to raise $125,000 before the end of this drive in a couple of weeks. We can do it with your help.
And, you know, it's worth repeating that we don't accept corporate sponsorships. We depend upon small individual donations and big, if you can afford that. We definitely would accept that. But, you know, the commercial radio, and even these days, to some extent, public radio programs are geared towards advertising dollars. Our programming is not geared towards advertising dollars. It's geared towards, obviously, what we think is worth putting on there, but also what you think is worth putting on there. So, you know, join KBOO and become part of the process. Join our committees, vote for the board. We just had a board election. We have a pretty new board here. We're pretty happy with the way things are going at KBOO. And you can join the effort, too. You can volunteer at the station, come on down, talk to Ani. She's actually our volunteer coordinator.
It's what I do. And it's actually a blast to go ahead and invite people into the community and to see what you want to do here inside KBOO, whether it's actually getting into the audio production work, field recording, investigative reporting, show production, joining a collective, any of those things, maybe doing some outreach work or doing some janitorial work. We need it all. It's always a pleasure to talk to people who want to get that kind of involved, vitally involved with community radio. Maybe you don't have that kind of time right now, but you have a little bit of funds. Please do share that with us. Those funds make everything else possible. We need you to keep the lights on. We need you to keep the doors open. Give us a ring at 877-500-5266. Support this effort in community radio and volunteer programming. 877-500-5266.
One of my earliest glimpses of the kind of thing confronting us in what Holmes had been good enough to call our partnership. What he would do next, I had no idea. I was hardly prepared a few nights later, and on a particularly stormy evening, for the appearance in our chambers of a tall, rakish-looking young workman with a goatee beard.
Oh, good evening, Governor. How are you?
How am I? Now, look here, my good man. What do you think you're doing walking in here? These are private apartments.
I happen to live here, Watson.
Good heavens. Holmes.
Yes, I think I forgot to warn you about my little penchant for disguises, Watson. Just one among my many other accomplishments. Phew, what an appalling night outside. It's coming down in sheets.
Well, what on earth have you been doing?
Getting myself engaged to be married.
To be married? My dear fellow, I congratulate you.
Yes, to the housemaid at Charles Augustus Milberton's.
What?
I had to, Watson. I wanted information.
Oh, but surely that was going too far.
Not at all. In my present alias, I'm a rising young plumber named Estcott. I've walked and talked with that girl every evening for nearly a week. Such charming little talks they were, too. And now I know Milberton's house in Hampstead like the palm of my hand.
Yes.
From the basement to the attics.
Yes, yes, but Holmes, the poor girl, Holmes.
Oh, well, it really can't be helped, Watson. She has to become a sacrifice on the altar of my art. Oh, fortunately, I find I have a hated rival in the shape of the local grocery assistant. He's sure to cut me out the moment my back's turned. Look out of the window, Watson. Ah, oh, what a splendid night.
Well, you were only complaining about it a moment ago.
As an honest citizen, as a burglar, I approve of it.
As a burglar?
Yes, I propose to burgle Milberton's house before the night is over, Watson. It's the only way. I just want a few minutes to change my clothes and get rid of this ticklish beard, and then I shall be leaving you for the evening to your peaceful solitude.
No, no, Holmes, I'm coming with you.
My dear Watson.
You said that we were partners, and that I should do something to shake off my indolence.
Well, we've been sharing these same rooms for some months now. It'd be amusing if we should finish up sharing the same cell. Do you really mean it, Watson?
To the death.
Well, you're a most delightful fellow. Do you think you could contrive to make us up a couple of masks?
Masks? Mm. Masks? In 5 minutes, from black silk. I've an old umbrella somewhere.
Excellent. Then that'll be your contribution. For my part, I shall be delighted to teach you how to use a jemmy and a glass cutter. And this set of adaptable keys. Some wonderful specimens here. In 2 hours' time, Watson, we shall be in Milverton's study, where he keeps his safe. It adjoins his bedroom, unfortunately, but I think he's pretty sure to be sound asleep. My little fiancée tells me he always sleeps like a log. Is it a bargain, Watson?
It's a bargain, Holmes.
We'll have time to hide behind the window curtains.
Right.
I'll begin on the safe.
Right, right.
Now then, skeleton keys. Ah, so. Oh, this fellow's a fool, you know. He ought to have had a much more modern safe than this one. Now then, let's see. If I could only... Now, it...
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson? Confound it, I've almost got it open.
Someone coming along the corridor. Two people.
Ah, oh, deuce, take it. What a moment to choose. It's too bad. Quick, then, behind the curtain. Can't have been in bed after all. Must have been waiting in the hall for someone. Watson, are you all right?
Yes, I think so. Rather a tight fit.
Well, there's a gap here I can just see through. Someone's coming upstairs carrying an oil lamp. Ah, it's Milverton, all right.
There's a woman with him. Veiled.
Shh, they're coming in.
Well, miss, you decided to come then, half an hour late.
I couldn't manage any earlier. My mistress kept me.
Well, if she's a hard mistress, you have your chance to get even with her. You tell me in your note that you've managed to get hold of some letters which compromise the Countess d'Albert.
Yes, I have.
You want to sell them and I want to buy them. So far, so good. I can use them in my business. Now, as to price...
The price, Mr. Milverton, for everything, is your life.
What do you mean, girl?
Look at me.
She's lifting her veil, Holmes. That's no lady's maid.
Great heavens! Is it you?
Yes, it's I, Charles Milverton. And don't you dare to speak my name. You've fouled it enough. You've ruined me the way you've ruined so many others.
You should have found the money in time.
And because I couldn't, because I begged you for 2 days' grace, you sent those letters you had to my husband. And he died. And you know how he died. The finest man in the world. And the letters were false. You changed the dates on them. They were written before I met him.
Keep back from me. Put that pistol down.
No, not till I've used it. You'll break no more hearts, Charles Milverton, as you've broken mine. You hound. You filthy hound.
That's how it goes when you listen to Sherlock Holmes. That's right. KBOO, you're listening to The Digital Divide. It is our membership drive, and the number we want you to call right now is 877-500-5266. It's a cliffhanger. You will have to listen to the April Fund Drive to hear the end of this Sherlock Holmes episode. But give a call now, and we're going to go out to Membership Central and talk with Paul and Ani.
Good morning. Good morning. We are doing great here, and it is so wonderful to have your support at Community Radio during the first opening days of our fall membership drive. Please do keep those cards and letters coming. keep your support ringing in at 877-500-5266. And know that your support is going to A Digital Divide and oh so many other fine quality programs here on KABU, produced by our volunteers, coming straight to your ears to enrich your life, to keep you connected to the community, to keep you inspired, informed, and activated. That's what we do. We activate. 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM. Be a part of that activation. Wouldn't you say, Paul?
I would say so. You know, we like to think there's a little bit or a lot for just about everyone. There's such a variety of stuff that comes out over KABU. It's quite amazing. If you listen throughout the day, listen here and there, you'll find African music, you'll find old-time American folk music early in the morning. You've got Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! At 7 o'clock in the morning. You've got our amazing news, local news, that's expanded now that unfortunately FSRN has had to go off the air, but we have not gone off the air with our news. We are expanding our news, and it's really exciting. Come on down to 20 Southeast Ace and check out what we're doing. There's always new news volunteers coming in and getting excited about getting out there into the community and doing local stories. We just have so many interesting and interested volunteers here, and you can be part of that. But right now, we would like your financial support. And to do that, you can connect up with us either through our website at kboo.fm or calling us up directly at 877-500-5266.
And join on in this community that supports so much. And, you know, as Paul was saying, the programming changes throughout the day. And that's, again, another value we bring. We're not just all one thing or another, as is the trend in so many media resources. We believe in actually giving you the diversity of programs because we know that there are many communities using this community resource. So again, a wide array of music, a wide array of arts and culture and political information from several perspectives, really a whole bunch of perspectives. We know that there is not one right answer to the world's problems, but we know that working together, we can find solutions that really do improve things, that really do co-create the world anew. That's what we're about here, and that's why you're listening. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, just like Richard did. Richard in Vancouver became a brand new member of KABU this morning, keeping the community growing strong. That is so fabulous. Thank you so much, Richard. Now let's thank you. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. You know that it takes just a couple of moments to get your support registered here at KABU. Bring your credit card to the phone and you can become a member instantaneously. Try $90 for a year's membership. That's about the average contribution that our listeners make. If you maybe can't afford that all at once, think about breaking that down in a monthly level. You know, a $90 pledge is about $7.50 a month. So easy for everyone to do, really. If go ahead, make that call, make that commitment to sustain KABU throughout the year, every month. Just a little money, one chunk at a time, feeding into this huge community effort. It's an important thing to do. It is, in fact, one of the most important things you can do this morning, because the repercussions of that action will, in fact, sustain community throughout the year. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
Ani, did we thank our restaurant supporters already?
Go ahead.
Well,
let's just do that.
I can't remember if we did the top of the hour. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll do it again because we really appreciate our food supporters, our restaurants, because we are supported by local businesses. They help underwrite us and they help feed us during the pledge drive. Katie O'Brien's at 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Thank you. Aprisa Mexican Cuisine at 2311 Southeast 8th Avenue. And Marrakesh at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue. This is all about community support, as we've said time and again, and we'll say again, and takes many different forms. It takes the form of volunteers. It takes the form of local businesses underwriting us. It takes the form of these restaurants who support us. And it takes the support of your individual financial contribution, which you can bring to us by calling 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm.
That's right. There are many ways to do it. The important thing is that you do it now. Whether you are able to give a contribution all at one time, $60, $90, $120, or whether you are able to spread that out and become a sustaining member. Think about giving 1 hour's wage every month. What you work for an hour, maybe $10, maybe $15 an hour. Maybe you make more than that. Maybe you make $20 an hour or $25. Think about becoming, don't just think about it, just do it. Call us at 877-500-5266 and become a sustaining member of KBOO at your hourly wage. It would do so much to spread out the support for your community radio station, to know that you are doing the right thing, and to get a little radioactive this morning here on the Radio Zine. 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
That's right. Thanks, Ani and Paul. And thank you, listeners, for your calls, 877-500-5266. Thank you for supporting KBOO, and thank you for supporting this program. We are going to leave you with the cliffhanging Sherlock Holmes, which will bring you the end of that episode in the April Fund Drive. So, no, I'm not holding you ransom. But please call now, 877-500-5266, to support not only the Digital Divide, but KBOO. Help us grow, help us expand, and help us thrive. As one of the last bastions of free speech, as one of the last truly independent media radio stations in the country, 45 years and going. That's right. That's 23,652,000 commercial-free minutes of radio and counting. 877-500-5266. I want to encourage you to get over to OMSI and check out the Sherlock exhibition. It's fantastic. There are literally hundreds of items from the London Museum on display as part of the exhibit. It's really quite spectacular, a full replica of 221 Baker Street and the mystery for you to solve throughout the exhibition. There are forensics. There are things that squirt and drip and roll and make footprints in the sand. So go over there and play and have a good time. Next month on the Digital Divide, we'll be hearing from Tom Standage. Tom is a digital editor at The Economist and editor-in-chief of its website. His new book, Writing on the Wall, documents social networking and social media since the time of Cicero. That's right, when people were passing papyrus instead of Bluetooth phone messages. So that will be next month on the Digital Divide. Right now, we're asking for your call at 877-500-5266. A way for you to display your activism is to support non-commercial community radio that services not only your community but your state and the world with homegrown news and public affairs and handpicked music just for you. So we are going to be going out now in the Digital Divide. Tune in every Sunday. Not every Sunday. What am I saying? Every second Friday of the month at 11 a.m. for the Digital Divide. That's right. Every second Friday of the month on KBOO 90.7 FM. And the number for you to call is 877-500-5266. Thank you.
It's time for the KBOO headlines for Friday, October 11th. Today, the Oregon Department of Education released a report stating that 500 schools in the state fall below state guidelines. 53 schools account for level one, or the worst performing. 100 of them are at level two, needing serious improvement. And 350 schools are at level three, just below average. In addition, there are 550 schools that rate average. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, or the OPCW, was awarded the 2013 Nobel Peace Prize today. The group has been working to end the stockpiling of chemical weapons around the world for two decades, since the Chemical Weapons Convention in 1997. The OPCW's work to eliminate serious chemical weapons, production capabilities, and existing stockpiles may have stopped an attack by the U.S. on Syria. However, some critics say that the group falls short because they do not challenge Israel, the United States, or Egypt over their well-documented existence of chemical weapons stockpiles in those countries. Delays in the effort to clean up Hanford Nuclear Site on the Columbia River brings disappointment to many people involved in the process. The Energy Department informed Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson on Tuesday that officials might not meet the deadlines established in the 2010 Hanford Cleanup Consent Decree. In 2010, the Department of Energy entered into a binding contract with the state of Washington after multiple lawsuits because the federal agency has been dragging its feet just cleaning up the tanks holding the waste that leak into the water. These delays could mean that future plans to complete the plant that would turn hazardous waste into inert glass with massive furnaces will be delayed as well. The plant has been operational since the 1940s and produced the plutonium for the warhead that was dropped on Japan in World War II. Hanford is the most contaminated site in the United States. In Tioga, North Dakota, a tar sands pipeline was leaking for days before a farmer discovered the stuff seeping into his land as he was harvesting wheat in his field 2 weeks ago. The ruptured